and welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
My name, I think it's Sebastian.
I don't know. The jury is still out as to your name. I think it's actually pronounced Sebastian.
Only when you're drunk and angry.
Yes, when I get drunk and angry, Sebastian comes out. All right. Well, what a week it has been. We actually have some interesting stories that have come out, a lot of them related to various prides. But I want to start off with, picture this. And this is one of those, you know, Florida man does X or queerty story about someone on Twitter said X. And I'm going to bite on this. And the story is, there was a lady who tweeted, she's on a date, this is pre-COVID.
Okay.
Pre-COVID. She's on a date with a guy and he orders dessert.
Why was she tweeting instead of spending time with a date?
Well, I mean, this woman...
You're on a date. Put your phone down.
I know, but it gets worse. Oh. So the gentleman orders dessert, and now she is convinced,
right,
as any reasonable sane person, that a man ordering dessert...
Is that a sign for we're getting it on?
No. Oh. He's a homosexual. Because clearly, only homosexuals order dessert. Did you know that?
What?
I know. And appetizers. Desserts and appetizers, because real men only eat meals. For me, jalapeno poppers. I am a devil for an appetizer.
What would Gordon Ramsay have to say about this? It's been a while since
I've never really seen him make a dessert.
Gordon Ramsay for president. Like that, yeah. That was a thing for a while there, and people thought I was joking, but I meant it. I meant Gordon Ramsay for president. But yeah. I mean,
he's not American, you know.
No, I mean, there's got to be such a thing as like a manly dessert or something.
Well, I mean, I just think it's ridiculous. The idea that men can't order dessert and appetizers.
Well, here's the thing. We have, for some reason, gendered foods.
Yes.
Okay? So something like a Cobb salad or a niçoise is considered very feminine, even though...
The Cobb salad is one with the sweet corn in it.
Yeah, sweet corn, ham, bits of cheese.
I thought Cobb salad was quite masculine.
They're quite good, yeah. Well, yeah. The other... first time I saw a niçoise was when I was at a conference in Paris, and then I was sitting at a table in a cafe, and at the next table over, there was a bunch of, it would have been plaster-encrusted, big, hairy construction workers mm-hmm. come in, and they all have a salad for lunch. And the niçoise, I'm staring at it going, huh, and then I have it myself, because I was like, I'll have what they're having. But that thing was damn filling. But anyway, so salads for some reason are feminine, and then red meat is like masculine.
A big old steak
is masculine. If you're getting a white fish, that's probably feminine unless you caught it yourself, at which point it's masculine. And then, first of all, that's all backwards because men are very poor at dealing with too much iron. Mm. So men can actually get heavy metal poisoning from a high iron diet.
Which is a steak. Because the stakes are high.
And women need iron because they lose it once a month through various natural processes. And then men
just misplace it.
Always have zinc and copper shortages for various biological reasons. They should be eating more fish.
So really...
We have it backwards.
Everyone should be getting dessert.
We have this weird
and
thing.
And eating fish. It's just
and
madness.
And then dark liquors are masculine and clear liquors are feminine. So if you drink gin, you're either gay or effeminate. And then
I'm both.
So, whiskeys are masculine. But anyway, the thing that kills me is a lot of people wonder, why is there such a thing as men's pocky? So you have all the different pockies.
You're talking about those little pretzel sticks with chocolate on the end.
Pretzel sticks dipped in stuff, right? So you've got the matcha green tea pocky, you've got the strawberry pocky, the regular pocky, the sparkles pocky, and then men's pocky. And the reason why is because they have the same thing.
Is it dipped in testosterone?
No.
It's just they take a pocky, they swish it about in some testosterone, and then you're good to go.
So the reason is actually more bizarre than that. And it's actually very similar to the weird cultural practices that we have in the West, where they've also gendered food in Japan. Sweets are considered to be for children and women in Japan. Men don't eat sweets in Japan.
Oh.
We, at least here, men eat donuts. Donuts are a masculine sweet in as much as there is such a thing as a masculine sweet. So the men's pocky is unsweetened bitter chocolate.
Ew.
So it's masculine because you're eating a bitter food. So you've got your men's pocky. But it's actually just, what it actually is it's a nice, just a dark chocolate that's mm-hmm. dipped into a bitter chocolate. So if you shake off the powder on the outside, it's a perfectly good dark chocolate.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, no, you just learned something. So, we have gendered foods. A lot of people don't think of it, but we do have gendered foods for some reason.
It certainly caused a bit of an online stir. And all the gays are going, you know, we don't always order dessert. I almost never order dessert.
I'm gluten intolerant. I rarely have dessert.
You have very few options.
Although actually, whenever we go to the Ahora, that's the Mexican place.
Good Mexican place in Ottawa, yeah.
I'm always going to get a flan from now on. Because last time I went, I had the flan there. And it was almost like a cream cheese. It was like they made cream cheese out of eggs somehow. Wow. It was amazing.
You know what they do? You should
always get flan.
You know when you've got like those slushy machines where it's just like constantly rotating a bright blue frozen liquid?
Like at a 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Like a big slushy machine.
Yeah.
This particular Mexican joint that is a favorite of ours has like a margarita in a slushy mix.
Yeah.
So it's just full of pre-slushed margarita, and I was like, I'd like a quart of margarita, please.
It is non-alcoholic, though.
No, they have alcoholic one as well.
No, I know, but they add the tequila after. Damn. In case a kid wants a virgin one.
Oh, that's... Why ruin the margarita with a lack of alcohol? It's just so disappointing.
So what did this lady say? Oh, is it that...
That was it. Essentially, she's like, she reckons that her date is secretly gay because he ordered dessert. And then she also went on about appetizers making you gay. Anyway, the rest of the world is like, did this lady bump her head? Like, what's going on?
He just really likes creme brulee.
You know what? Every now and then, I get a hankering for a damn good cheesecake. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I don't eat a lot of dessert too often. But sometimes I'm like, you know what? I want a cheesecake that's not, where the top bit is sweet, nice, crunchy, spicy almost base. Or like a graham cracker base with a bit of a spicy in it. And then a nice, smooth, silky cheesecake.
There's got to be... Somebody must have figured out a masculine dessert. Like, I'm going to stand by donuts.
Let us know. Tweet us at TalkCanQueer or on the Book of Faces or on the Podbean. What is the manliest dessert? The
manliest dessert. I don't even necessarily think that donuts are masculine. I think they're neutral.
I wonder how many people are going to message us and say sex. Because that's a manly dessert.
Make it out with a steak
for dinner. Sex for dessert. No. What's a manly dessert? Like a creme brulee? Because there's like flames involved, maybe? It's kind of manly.
And how does stuffed potato skins make you gay?
I don't know.
Everybody
loves... Jalapeno poppers. I mean, jalapeno poppers. How is that gay? I don't know. Also, none of the food we mentioned has genitalia and sexual attraction to other foods.
Well, I mean, so it's like, with steak and fish, there's weird cultural genderings that are usually backwards and don't make sense.
Absolute madness. Now, we are going to be playing another bunch of songs from the Earshot Digital Distribution System, which is the way of getting music into the hands of non-profit community and campus radio stations. Now, I have implored people to upload their, LGBT musicians of all stripes. I've implored you to upload your music so that we can play it. I reached out to the big wigs in charge of the digital distribution, and I have a discount. There is a coupon that you can now put in, which is the name of our show, CanQueer, CanQueer. And that was a weird way of pronouncing R. It's like, I'm part pirate. I don't know if you knew this.
It's like when you make fun of my Southern Ontario accent. Yeah,
for car and the farm.
Yeah, cat on the farm.
But no, it's...
Park your car in the barn of the farm.
And then tune into CanQueer. Go to earshot-distro.ca to find it. And then if you log in, set up an account and be sure to use the coupon CanQueer, all one word, CanQueer. And that's CanQueer. And you should get a 50% off all of the uploads.
Oh,
I think like an album is, I want to say $50, maybe a bit less. But the idea is that if you're a musician and you want to get a radio station to play your album, you have to put that thing in the post.
Oh, okay. I was like, $50 to download an album? No, it's $50 to upload an album so that other people can download it for like 20 cents a track or something.
Well, no, the radio stations is free.
Oh, okay.
Because they want them, you want the stations to play the music.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like for the longest time, people would like make the physical CDs. They're like $5 a pop.
Yep.
To make the physical CDs. Yep. Put it in an envelope. You know those things they made out of paper, they go in the post?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of old school. They put them in an envelope, pay for the postage for this envelope, and then you just hope, you cross your fingers that the station doesn't just recycle it, because most of them don't take physical CDs anymore. A lot of them are banned. But Earshot, 50% off. Check it out. I think it works out to be about $3 a song.
When I used to volunteer at CKCU in Hamilton... CKCU's here in Ottawa, yeah. CFMU in Hamilton, they would occasionally just be like, we got sent 5 of these, we only need 1, here, take it home. And
yeah,
some of my favorites were actually DJ sets, and it was DJs just selling selling their services, that's what and it would, they would like do a 2-hour mix just to show what kind of music they put into things, show that they're competent at doing good transitions, that kind of stuff. And I took home a few of those, and actually a lot of my taste in music was defined by that kind of thing. And on the one hand, it's sad to see those. And it was actually, I remember quite specifically, it was the Ninja Tunes Solid Steel number 10 mix. Somebody out there knows what I'm talking about. And by somebody, I mean exactly one person and no more, because that's pretty damn obscure. But anyway, those things going away is a bit sad. But on the other hand, the internet is pretty great as well, because I have now gotten into the habit of keeping my phone on hand, because most of the new artists that I've discovered recently is from using Shazam on TV shows.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So before we move on to the first of the songs... I wanted to remind our listeners that today, we're recording before our Eurovision party.
Yeah.
Yes. We've invited you, the listeners.
So this will be going out on Monday. So on probably your yesterday.
Or whatever day.
2 days ago.
Saturday the 18th, we record this. In a few hours, we will be joining, hopefully, some of our listeners who we invited last week to join us for a Eurovision live streaming party, where we're going to be putting on classic Eurovision and having a little bit of gin and other European beverages as we enjoy the nostalgia. There has been, you know, we're not the only ones, apparently, who were upset and devastated that the Netherlands has postponed Eurovision. It makes sense. Europe is, you know, reeling from the coronavirus pandemic. About 180 million people tune in each year. 180 million people tune in each year to watch Eurovision. And that's a lot of people. And they're kind of wondering, how do we capture their attention without watching Eurovision?
Mm.
So hashtag Eurovision again went viral this past weekend. And now the official Eurovision YouTube channel will be hosting viewing parties for classic Eurovision years every Saturday. I'm not sure exactly what time. I think it is based in the UK, sort of Greenwich Mean Time sort of time of day.
Okay.
So it may be quite early in the morning for us North Americans. If you want to catch a mid-morning Eurovision show, we'll be posting the links, but hashtag Eurovision again, you should be able to find it. And then I think next weekend we will probably do another Eurovision party. Follow our Facebook and Twitter to see if we're confirming that. Really, it depends on how well today goes.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Being the first, we're going to be tolerant of it being a little bit disappointing.
Yes.
So
just like Eurovision.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's thematic.
It's on brand. Yeah. Disappointing. And you expected more.
I do remember we were discussing if we did a second one, it would be the year ABBA one. You know, sorry about the spoilers, but yeah.
Well, anyways, I just wanted to share with us that we're not the only crazy people watching old Eurovision. Apparently, Europe itself is also craving a little bit of Eurovision throwback. So they have been pushing for Eurovision again. And getting it back. We're going to be playing Where Magic by Cassidy Kivett, and we will be back just after this.
Memories, money saved, missed calls and missed dates, necklace engraved, pupils begin to dilate, couldn't form the calluses, a guitar not tear-kissed, quarters more spacious, lyrics with the basis. How could we ever be apart? We were so young, we were in love, high school sweethearts. When we were magic, how'd we get stranded on this lonely planet? I like to imagine back when we were carefree, just love, no worries. And what you'd say to me now rings so empty. Both of our thoughts resisted, we could survive some distance. Who's to say if we'd have it all? When the love's gone, we'll give you a call. How could we ever be apart? We were so young, we were in love, childhood sweethearts. When we were magic, how'd we get stranded on this lonely planet? I like to imagine back when we were carefree, just love, no worries. And what you'd say to me now rings so empty. With the move, our fate was sealed. The end will play on the next reel. So I reread the texts. I hope you also think back. When we were magic, how'd we get stranded on this lonely planet? I like to imagine back when we were carefree, just love, no worries. And what you'd say to me now ring so empty, like oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Imagine back when we were carefree, just love, no worries. The words you'd say to me now ring so empty.
Hello and welcome back to Cancria. That was Cassidy Civet and Civet, and we will be back. We are here.
Where hello, we need here to be. We are.
I wanted to talk. I got an email.
Just the one?
From, well, I know, just one email. In the last 2 weeks, I received a single email. No, it was from the coordinators of the Swerve project.
What now, is a Swerve project?
There is a Swerve. It doesn't mean driving wildly from one side of the road to the other. No, it is the social well-being, empowerment, and resilience in the face of adversity project. Swerve.
Okay.
So social well-being, empowerment, resilience in the face of adversity. And essentially what it is a study looking at, and they use the full acronym, 2SLGBTQIA plus youths between the ages of 15 and 29. So if you are an 2SLGBTQIA plus youth between the ages of 15 and 29 in Canada, they want to take part in an online survey. They are looking for you. The goal of this study is to look at the positive development of youths, their well-being, empowerment, and participation, as well as bullying and the effect that bullying has on their experiences. So really, I think what they're looking at is how bullying impacts development and so on. So yeah, it's an academic study between UQAM, University of Toronto, University of Montreal, and a couple of other universities as well. Ryerson University, University of Laval, University of Saskatchewan is a huge national project.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It is definitely a lot. There is a tiny URL, but it's going to be...
It is very rare for more than three universities to get involved.
Yeah, there's like a dozen of them here. It's insane. It's Shirk funded, which you would find interesting, but maybe not Shirk. Anybody else. Anyway, you can reach out to them at Swerve, SWERV-BRAV, at ucam.ca. So that's SWERV-BRAV at UQAM.ca. Now, for anyone that participates between the ages of 15 and 29 who is in 2SLGBTQ2Q+ youth, there's 10 sections in the survey. For every survey section you complete, you get a chance to win one of 40 $50 gift certificates. So there is an incentive, but really what I think it is, it would be really great if any of the 2SLGBTQ+ youths who have experienced bullying, or maybe even haven't, want to share their expertise with this project. We will be keeping an eye out to see what the results of the Swerve project is, and what comes next from those guys there. Well, that was a mouthful. Holy jeez. They should pay me by the minute. Or by the word.
By the word?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was an acronym. So, I mean, it's hard to say whether or not it's one word or what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. How would you charge for an acronym?
I mean, you would treat the whole thing as one word.
Oh, yeah. Crafty.
Yeah. Well, actually, that would be an alphabetism. Quite strictly speaking, an acronym is when the word is pronounceable, like scuba, which is self-contained underwater breathing apparatus, whereas 2SLGBTQ, etc., is an alphabetism because you just have to say the letters out loud.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, but then you get ones like SQL, as in SQL, which is a programming language.
Oh, okay.
It should be an alphabetism, but people have made it into an acronym because they would rather say SQL than SQL.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's a thing, yeah.
So, Jussie Smollett.
Jussie Smollett.
Yeah, yeah. So, is that how you say his name?
No.
I thought it was Smollett.
Yeah, it's
Smollett,
yeah.
Anyway, there's a whole bunch of stories I want to talk about with various prides and events moving online, but we'll wrap up the show with those.
This is a short story.
It is a short story.
Or a short addition to an old story.
An update on the Jussie Smollett saga.
It's been about a year now?
Let's say for the audience, who is this man? Why is he relevant?
Well, he's relevant because, his original climb to fame was he was playing a character on a show called Empire, and he may or may not have allegedly, supposedly faked his own hate crime.
Yes. So Jussie Smollett, who is a young gay black man in whatever Atlanta, I think it's Atlanta.
They film in California.
Oh, they film in California?
And I think he's from Atlanta, and then the crime happened when he was visiting a friend in Chicago.
Right. So he's in Chicago, and then he gets hate crime beat up.
In the original story, it was two white supremacists wearing MAGA hats.
All right. And then it turns out that they're Jamaican.
Well, yeah.
It
devolved quickly because I was skeptical because they're like, wait, they were wearing MAGA hats? Those things are paper thin, and it was Chicago at 2 a.m? That would have been like 30 below. They would have had hypothermia. You're going to hang out in an alleyway with a MAGA hat? Like they'd be wearing toques or something. And it turns out the whole thing was orchestrated.
For the context, at the time, there had been a string of hate crimes that had garnered big national attention. And Jussie Smollett as an actor would have automatically got a degree of attention, and that would have been amplified.
But it happened in one of the most progressive neighborhoods in one of America's most progressive cities. So, I mean,
this wasn't the Deep South, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, no, it was Chicago. No criminal is hanging out in a dark alleyway like it's Batman, and they're sitting there to rob
Chicago,
you.
Chicago, not Gotham.
Yeah, it's just 2 a.m. in the business district where there's nobody there. They're going to go where the people are. Mm-hmm. And so everything about it was just fishy. And
so what's the latest twist and turn in this saga?
The latest twist is apparently a witness has come forward. But yeah, the latest event was a witness took a closer look at the pictures, and this witness works in a high-end bathhouse in Chicago, and said not only does he recognize Jussie Smollett and one of the alleged attackers, but he recognizes them from having come into his bathhouse together.
And enjoyed each other's company and said bathhouse.
Being a high-end bathhouse, they would have had a subscription model so that you do a background check once, you do an ID check once, so that they know if you misbehave and they have to kick you out and you're never allowed back again, then they can do that because they know what your ID is. So
it's a private members club.
It's a private members club, which means that every time you go there, you sign in.
Yeah.
So currently, nobody can access – well, not nobody, but accessing the records is complicated on account of the quarantine.
Yeah.
But there are people who are coordinating getting into that office to access those records to see if every time Jesse Smollett shows up, one of the alleged attackers happens to sign in, you know, a minute later.
Yeah, that would be quite the uncanny coincidence if the guy that is alleged to have hate crime beaten the heck out of Jesse Smollett also was hanging out with him at a bathhouse.
At a bathhouse, yeah.
Yeah, it certainly takes the winds out of the stranger danger claim.
It's a very weird case. And it's bringing up a lot of very interesting legal issues in the States. Normally, we try to avoid American stories, but this one is just... It's big. It's a big story, and it's been all over the place.
You're right. We do tend to avoid the American stories because there's just so many of them.
There's so many of them.
It's just...
And a lot of them, when you drill down into them, are actually not very... They're not as interesting as they seem to be at first. Yeah, like, a lot of the Florida Man stories, it's really just...
It's the headline.
It's the headline. Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, staring and pointing.
Let's cleanse our palate of that ridiculous story. We will continue to monitor what the heck is happening with Jesse Smollett, just because it has been a roller coaster of an experience.
Oh, wow.
This is Surround by Police, and we will be back just after. Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. I have put a dash of sugar in my tea. I am now slightly more with it than I was earlier. Now, moving on, let me tell you about Queerantine.
Queerantine?
Queerantine.
Does it have a hashtag in front of it?
Oh, it should. It should.
That would make me hate it slightly more.
No. Queerantine, which is obviously like quarantine. Which is a real word.
Yes, yes.
But is now queerantine. I'm going to try and get it until I can say it right. I think it's coming up soon. It's Sudbury's Pride.
Okay.
It's, they obviously can't celebrate Pride in person on account of the COVID.
Uh-huh.
And as a result, they have launched Queerantine, the Queerantine Festival. Which is going to take place as their Pride Week festival, taking place July 13th to 19th, entirely online. And really their hope is to create some online experiences for people instead. Actually, I think here in Ottawa, the Ottawa Pride has been holding like online drag shows and talent shows and, mm-hmm. And the such. Really, it's just various people in their bedrooms talking into a webcam. But yeah, no, there's a whole... What do you think of Queerentine?
I mean, I appreciate what they're trying to do. I appreciate the creativity, but the name makes me cringe.
So this follows on a global effort to create an online global pride.
Yes.
Event later in, I think it's in July. There is actually one pride physically scheduled to take place. The pride parade that is actually happening, that's scheduled to actually exist, is Shanghai.
Oh,
in China, the Shanghai Pride is scheduled to carry on in June. Now, a lot of Asia has kind of come out the other end of this. Mm-hmm. Singapore did really well, and then not so well. So they're currently dealing with the second wave. Mm-hmm. But apparently the organizers of Shanghai Pride are... planning to go ahead, which is quite something, because in North America, for example, Brandon, Manitoba, they just cancelled their pride because you can't be in, you know, it was really hard to have a parade when everyone is spaced out 2 meter radius around. It'd be quite a very long stretched out parade, I would imagine. But yes, no, it's not very practical, so they've cancelled it. But Shanghai is going forward. What do you think of that?
I mean, I think probably the only place on Earth right now where it's truly safe to have a pride parade is Antarctica. And actually, they're coming out of their summer months as well. So they would have been, because it's, you know, opposite hemisphere. So
yeah.
But yeah, no, it's interesting and complicated. Shanghai has been dealing with outbreaks on and off for quite some time. H1N1 hit them. Swine flu was H1N1. SARS hit them. So they're a lot more seasoned at dealing with this kind of thing. So they're probably just shrugging it off like, hey, whatever. It's just a plague. Get over it.
I mean, I don't know if the population of Shanghai are quite that jovial about the pandemic.
Yeah, they're probably not quite so nonchalant, but they're probably quite stoic about it.
Yes, yeah. Nice bit of stoicism is what we need. Mm. Now, there is actually some really great initiatives also coming out of Canada. In Halifax, the Halifax Pride organizers tried to launch Pride from Home.
Okay.
It was an effort to try and connect people to each other and to try to... have little rainbows up, sort of solidarity images and symbols as, you know, people are walking their dog or, you know, going for a stroll for the exercises or what have you. So it was just about, you know, creating a visual sense of community and companionship during the pandemic.
I don't think all of the listening audience knows what Xerxes is.
Xerxes? It is the exercise.
Yes.
By the lovely Chloe Sauvigny.
Yeah.
which is fantastic. She's wonderful.
She also enjoys riadding.
She does like the riadding.
Yeah. Yes.
Lovely woman. Wonderful. But Halifax did it. And then St. John was like, hang on now a minute. This putting lovely rainbows and solidarity in your window, malarkey, sounds like an awful lot of fun, methinks. So St. John's did it. And now there is apparently a whole string of communities across Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, and New Brunswick that are all engaging in this Pride from Home initiative to try and get people to kind of create a sense of community. So Corner Brook, Grand Falls, then we got the Fogo Islands. I don't know where the Fogo Islands are, but they're in on it.
Well, they're islands, so they've got to be in the water
somewhere. They're going to be in the water. Thank you for narrowing it down to the water. Otherwise, you know, I would have been really stumped. So the Pride at Home activities take place from April 17th to 19th. So it would have been last week. So we have missed them. But our understanding is that the Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, and New Brunswick Pride organizers are planning even more collaborative efforts moving into the summer.
I'd like to know how it all worked out. Like, if any of you are familiar with these events, if you attended them online, if you know people who did attend them online.
We caught the story off the CBC a bit late.
Definitely let us know how it went. One of the things that I worry about is that if you've ever been on any social app targeting, I mean, I can only speak to social apps targeting gay men in specific, but the community in general is kind of known for that, that all of the chat-based websites kind of reveal the fact that most people don't know how to chat. So I don't really know how these online Pride events would go.
Well, one of them had a bit of, it didn't end well.
Did 4chan find out about it?
No. So a lot of organizations have been doing drag shows, highlighting local drag communities.
Right.
And different things like that. So a lot of people, even some friends of mine who are drag queens, are like doing their makeup on. It's like you're watching a not as high quality RuPaul show, you know,
when
it's like drag queen getting into drag and you see the transformation and then they lip sync in front of their camera. And it's really quite the experience to witness one of these shows. But yes, so a word of warning to our listeners who may be looking at doing some digital performances, try not to fall asleep during your drag shows. So GLAAD, the Anti-Defamation League, are organizing a Together in Pride, You Are Not Alone digital event. So it seems like everyone is coming together to make these sort of events. This one is actually scheduled for April 26th. Go to GLAAD's website, GLAAD. If you Google it, you'll find it. And they have a whole bunch of people already confirmed to be sort of singing from home doing this, including Kesha, Melissa Etheridge, and a bunch of other LGBT icons of the Kesha and Melissa Etheridge level. So yeah, no, it's GLAAD is definitely planning quite the show.
Something that kind of interests me as well is about the attendance for some of these events. Now, obviously, most people are going to respect that it's a local event. You're also going to get a lot of international people there, which is not necessarily bad. That would just be the equivalent of tourism that, you know, you have, Fairyland, Newfoundland having their local pride and, somebody from Mumbai shows up in the chat. Nothing wrong with that. Sounds fantastic. People like meeting people from around the world. But usually when you're in any digital space, if you're on Reddit, if you're on Pinterest, if you're on anything, it does not matter what it is. It is 60% American, 20% Canadian.
Yeah. I like looking at Reddit threads because sometimes it's just a solid page and a half of Canadians being like, WTF America.
Yeah.
Okay, this guy. And then everyone's like, why is Reddit so anti-American? And
it's like, I have been in chat sites before where people from like Australia or the Netherlands are like, why are Canadians all over the internet? Like, looking at your population, you have way disproportionate
amount of, like,
footprint.
Yeah.
That you're on Reddit. And it's like the fact that we're 20% of Reddit, even though we're like, what, 0.5% of the world population? They're just like, what are you doing, Canada? It's like, we get bored at night. It's cold out.
it's the frozen north. So the GLAAD event will have interviews, performances, and video messages on the YouTube channel and the Facebook page. Dan Levy from Schitt's Creek and a whole bunch of others. Michelle Visage, Sean Hayes. Oh, I like Sean Hayes. And a whole bunch of singers as well joining in to do a little sing-song. So, yeah.
I'm glad Dan Levy is now Dan Levy from Schitt's Creek and not Dan Levy, who's Eugene Levy's kid anymore.
Yeah. I mean, the guy is like being a the milestones and the, I mean, Schitt's Creek, I think, has had a huge cultural impact.
It's rare for a Canadian show to be watched by Canadians. So they've definitely accomplished something there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but it's a Canadian show where it takes place in Canada and they call it Canada. And the last time I saw that was Orphan Black.
Yeah.
And it's not just filmed in Toronto, like everything's filmed in Toronto. It was filmed in Toronto, and they're like, oh, we need to go to the suburbs. And then somebody would say, I hate Vaughn. And yeah. First of all, you should. But yeah, no, it's rare. So they've definitely accomplished something there. And also, actually, I really like their... they have a good representation of queer content there, where it's not cringy and it's not like, oh, look at us, we're doing queer content. It's actually just well-written.
Like Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I did want to say that we are, you know, when I was looking into Canadian organizations going digital for Pride, there's the... Pride from Home in Halifax and then a lot of the East Coast.
Okay.
There's the Queerentine in Sudbury.
Okay.
And then, but also in Saskatchewan, a lot of the Saskatchewan City Prides, so Regina, Saskatoon, the other ones, they all came together for the Let's Get Digital event that happened recently. I know. I like it. I love the little head nod to Olivia Newton-John. I will be keeping an eye out for Saskatchewan Pride, the province's collaborative approach to creating digital events across the province. And really, I think all of these different examples, Saskatchewan, Sudbury, Halifax and the East Coast, and even GLAAD and the big international efforts, is really showing an attempt, a concerted effort to create online senses of community in the middle of this pandemic. Yeah. Because, you know, in the summer, the gays loved congregate.
Yeah.
And we love a good party. We love a good pride parade.
I think part of this is also sort of keeping the community's engine running.
Yeah.
You know, that they're keeping it on idle so that at least it's still going. I know, like, this is not even a full story. This is just an unfortunate footnote, and I don't know how to expand on this other than just to say a lot of people are worried about the small businesses, especially the bars in Canada.
Well,
a lot of them are closing their doors and will not be able to reopen them.
Well, Men's and Molly's in Halifax, which is one of the cornerstone gay bars in Halifax. It had, like, three different stages, huge focal point for the drag community.
Yeah.
Has closed its doors permanently.
Yeah.
The CBC reached out and weren't able to get an interview with them. We didn't have time to chase it up before recording the show. So if you don't know what happened at Men's Mollies in Halifax, please let us know at TalkCanQueer on the Book of Faces, at the Twitter and elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right. You know, these institutions of queer culture are shuttering their doors.
Yeah. And there's a few places like the 519 in Toronto, which gets external funding. So so long as that external funding is secured, they will at least be able to keep the lights on, hold on to the space. Obviously, they'll either have to cancel or reduce their services for a while, but they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, that they're in 10 years' time, they will be fine again, no doubt.
Yeah.
Some of these other places...
Well, the 519 is a service center.
Yeah, well...
Yeah.
It's a split service center, community center.
Yeah.
And some of the community events may not be able to keep themselves sustained. But then the community center... No, the service center will be able to help them reboot themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So long as that community of whatever organization can still keep in contact, they can hit the ground running when everything... comes back together. Like there was the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, which still practice over Zoom.
Yeah, they had like 100 people, didn't they?
Yeah. So there's people are looking for solutions. And a lot of this is really just sustaining what already exists so that it doesn't fall apart, so that people don't lose touch, so that people can, you know, check in on each other.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I don't want to say that I'm optimistic because these are complicated times, but I am not pessimistic. I am at least neutral.
You're istic.
I'm istic.
Yeah. That checks out. That's where I think things are going. You know, one of the things that for the first couple of weeks of this quarantine and this lockdown, all that we could share with our wonderful listeners was, this Pride is cancelled, and that Pride is cancelled, and all the businesses are going bust. So,
and funding for a lot of the programs that we've been talking about for the past year had been redirected or cut back. So
it's really refreshing to see Canadian resiliency kind of rebounding during this. You know, reach out to your local Pride organization, because they're all looking for ways to recreate that sense of community and connection in an online space. You know, big national efforts or international efforts like the GLAAD's, what did they call it? Together in Pride event, or the global digital Pride event taking place later in July. You know, these are great. But what I love about Pride in Canadian communities, and, you know, my favorite types of Pride are like small town Prides.
I'm talking
like,
both of
you
us,
know, 150,000 people or less, little, you know, community picnics. And for me, it's all about creating that sense of connection, that sense of community. And it is so refreshing to see these organizers, these volunteers, really trying to figure out, okay, you know, we can't do it in person. Can everybody operate Zoom? Like, let's see if we, you know, let's see where we go. Let's try and make it happen, you know?
I think it would be fun to get a 20 to 30 person, because you don't want to lag it out too much, a 20 to 30 person Minecraft server for Pride, where, you know, LGBT Canadians from across the country come together in Minecraft and just, like, build a castle.
I like it. The gayest castle. The gayest of the castles. All right. Well, actually, we have seen some criticism of these online efforts.
Oh?
And that is because somebody pointed out recently that a lot of these online initiatives are featuring almost exclusively drag queens.
Yes. I noticed that as well.
And there are zero to none drag kings. Engaging with these being engaged with these online spaces. Now, in the actual wider world of Pride events and community initiatives, organizers are pretty key at making sure there's a wide variety of performers. But it seems like in the digital spaces, it's fallen back very heavily on gay men dressed up in drag.
Yeah.
Now, a part of me is thinking that in the history of our in our community's history, gay men just up in and doing a thing is what happens.
Yeah, well, I mean, no one's going to do it for you. If you're if you're a gay man in the 70s and you want to do a thing, you go out and do it because no one's going to help you.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a quote circulating from the new Netflix documentary coming out, which is like, we never get anything which we didn't fight to achieve in the first place. You know, nothing's just given to us. So I agree. You know, on the one hand, I'm like, I don't know how much of this is sexism against women. And well, how much of it is just gay men going about doing a thing and not proactively thinking, maybe I should have a drag king.
I would say I am willing to accept that it is either, but not both. Mm. And it depends on the context, and this is why. So if you're talking about Pride organizers
That was clear as mud.
I'll get there. Sometimes you can have both and either. Both or either, but not... So it's one or the other, but not both, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so because if you have a Pride organization organizing official Pride Zoom meetings or official live streams or something, it is under their control to say who is going to be under their umbrella.
There's usually design by committee going on.
If you're talking, because a lot of the things we've talked about so far are just people at home creating entertainment.
No, it's a lot of them are the Prides, but it's typically just, you know, industrious
person. But if you are talking about, because a lot of the things we have been talking about are just like drag queens at home creating entertainment, trying to create their own spaces, trying to unify people, that is just... You know, like, why are there insta-gays and not insta-lesbians? Like, why are there not as many famous lesbians on Instagram as there are gay men harboring an Instagram image? And that is pure democracy, get up and go, people generating something in larger numbers than other people, and people respond to it in larger numbers than others. So in that case, I would say that's sort of the democracy, the market, or they're creating something that people want to consume, or they're a community that... wants to interact in that way.
With some of these drag queens, they're just creating content because it's a Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it depends on which version of this you're talking about. If you're talking about new YouTube channels showing up, if you're talking about new community events showing up, if you're talking about that sort of thing, then I would say, you know, take your argument and cram it. But if you're talking about Pride, who do curate these experiences, and they go out and they seek people, or if somebody calls them up and says, I want to do this thing, then you say, okay, but listen, we already have 50 people doing that. So
yeah,
for the sake of diversity.
So you're another middle-aged white gay guy who wants to do a thing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's add you to the list of all the other middle-aged white gay guys doing the same thing. Imaginative.
So, I mean, usually the way that Pride does this is they have, because most Prides are organized by the community anyway. Mm-hmm. There's very, very few official Pride events at any Pride. You have to go somewhere like, you know, the Buenos Aires or the not Buenos Aires, the Mardi Gras Pride in Australia is in Sydney. There you go. Sydney Pride has hundreds of events that are put on by Sydney Pride.
Yeah.
But they're also one of the biggest in the world. They can get away with that.
And New York is the same.
And New York Toronto, is the same, But if you're talking about somewhere like Toronto, Montreal, most Canadian cities, even the largest ones, are not as large as New York or Paris or London.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the events are organized by the community. So what Prides do is they find all of the community events, and then they promote sort of the big ones.
A smorgasbord.
Yeah, they'll take a cross-section of events that sort of promote diversity, and they'll do that. And in the back half will be like, here's all the other things that are also happening that we're not explicitly promoting, but you're free to read through the titles, the locations, events, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The descriptions to see what appeals to you personally. If there are 50 different drag acts happening around town during Ottawa Pride, we're not going to stop that, and we're not going to refuse to advertise that either, but we're only going to promote one.
Yeah.
So I think that is probably the best answer. But
one of the things that we've seen is for some of these events, these various online collaborative events, it is predominantly drag queens that are given the stage.
Yes.
Even though the stage is the camera in their living room.
Yeah.
It's like, we understand, you know, we applaud the get up and go digital community building. Absolutely.
Part of this is,
but let's keep one eye on who's not in the room here. Who's not in the digital room here.
Drag queens are not known for happily sharing a stage.
No. I don't know many drag queens happily share a stage.
If you had like a male or even a bisexual, a gay or bi male stand-up comedian, for them to be part of like a lineup, to be like, there's going to be seven people. Like imagine Joe Lysette being told it's just Joe Lysette, you're not opening for anyone and no one's opening for you. He'd be like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Like, get me an opening act, because that's how comedy shows work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think a lot of it does come down to the fact that it is drag, and drag queens love being the center of attention. And if you don't love being the center of attention,
the performers.
Exactly, yeah. Whereas there's other styles of performance. A lot of musicians don't want to be on for a two-hour act. They want to have a break to tune their guitar and have somebody else come out. You know, it's a thing. So, I mean, I think really it just comes down to the fact that it is drag. Whereas if you had, like, you know, living room performances of live music, you would get a completely different cross-section. So, I don't know. That's the answer. Long as it is.
I mean, I think these efforts should continue. We will continue to promote them.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Overall, I love the idea. Yeah. They just need to refine how they're doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just take a hot minute. Who's in this lineup of people being live streamed from the bedrooms?
Yeah.
GLAAD's together in Pride. Check them out, GLAAD, on their website, Facebook, and YouTube for the event on April the 26th. Let us know how your community is coming together during this, and whether or not you've seen a drag king. And we will be back next week. We will let you know how the Eurovision live stream party that the Cannes Queer team is putting on goes. Don't forget to go to our Facebook at Talk Cannes Queer to find the event, and feel free to join us. We want to invite our listeners to join us in this fun times. I've been Luke Smith.
And I have been Sebastian.
We're playing out with Madeline by Gigi French.
And thank you for listening.
she grew.